I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, Miss America was crowned, and her Indian American heritage was the target of an angry commentary online. We'll talk about race, racism, and the internet later on.
First, a look at an issue facing our food supply. American agriculture relies upon the European honeybee for a lot of pollination, but a lot of those bees are dying out, and the problem doesn't look like it's going to be solved anytime soon.
So researchers are turning their attention to alternative pollinators, the thousands of native bee species throughout the country, as a possible solution.
Hillary Rosner joins us now. She writes on science and the environment. She wrote a piece in Scientific American called Return to the Natives, How Wild Bees Will Save Our Agricultural System. Hillary, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So do we have a heavy reliance on these European honeybees?
We do, yes. About a third of the U.S. food supply depends primarily on honeybees for pollination, and that is things like a lot of fruits, apples, peaches, melons, berries, squashes, lettuces, almonds, just a lot of the things that give the variety to the foods that we eat and also give us a lot of the vitamins that we need.
And you write that we've, in a way, engineered an environment that couldn't be worse for these bees we rely on. What are we doing wrong for those European bees?
So our agriculture system has basically grown up with honeybees, and they are really the primary pollinator of these crops. And, you know, if you think about the agricultural system in this country, it's a lot of just these huge monoculture farms. So you've got, you know, thousands of acres that are just growing one type of crop. And when those crops need honeybees to pollinate them, the bees basically have to be trucked in. So you have these migratory beekeepers who kind of move their hives from crop to crop all over the country. I mean, they're traveling from California to Florida and all over the place and following the crops that are in season. And when there's a bloom, so the almond bloom, for instance, in California, which is a huge honeybee extravaganza, you get all of these bees from around the country kind of mixing together, all coming together and sort of exchanging their viruses and fungi and whatever else they have. And then a lot of the rest of the time, there's really nothing for these bees to eat. And so the beekeepers have to supplement them. They feed them sugar water or different kinds of supplemental nectar, which really are not ideal. And these bees are sort of just forced to work very hard in less than ideal conditions. So we're really kind of pushing them to do things that are not natural for them.
But we have these native bee species. How many different species roughly are there that are native to North America?
So there are about 20,000 native bees around the world, and there are about 4,000 of them in the U.S., which is quite a lot of them. And, you know, in a lot of places, we're losing them. Bumblebees, for instance, are dying out in certain places because their habitat is being lost. But when these bees are around, they actually can help a great deal with pollination.
Now, it sounds kind of random. I don't really know how this would work. I mean, as a farmer, you can't just plant things and hope the native bees show up. What kind of things can farmers do to harness the power of our native bee populations?
So, you know, in a lot of places, these bees are already there, but they just might be there in smaller numbers, or maybe they're nearby, they're living in little pockets. And so it's really a question of giving them some basic things. They need somewhere to nest and they need something to eat. So what these researchers that I wrote about in my story have been doing is experimenting with different ways of putting native vegetation back onto farmland. So, you know, maybe on the borders of crops or in areas that are not under cultivation because the soil is bad or just because they're kind of too weedy or something. They've been experimenting with putting in different kinds of native shrubs and native flowers and things that really do attract these bees. And they're finding that, you know, when they do put in these plantings, the bees are actually there. So it's really, I mean, it's not anything super high tech. It's a fairly basic solution. It's kind of, if you build it, they will come.
And can any native bee species work for any crop we're planting, or do we need the right kind of bee to unlock the key there?
So it's a little bit of both. There are some wild bee species that pollinate very specific crops, and then there are others that are generalists, and they'll kind of just pollinate whatever is blooming at that time. So it really depends on, you know, who, what, and where. But, you know, there are 4,000 of these around the country, and so there's a good chance that you're going to have some generalists and probably the right kind of specialists in your area.
are farmers around the country trying this? Are people actually doing this, planting these crops, and what kind of success have they had?
So it's definitely taking off. There are a lot of, you know, farmers are concerned about the honeybee crisis. And a lot of the farmers that I talked to really were, none of them think that honeybees are going to disappear entirely, but almost every farmer that I talked to was concerned and thought that probably they should be doing something. And so a lot of, for smaller farmers who don't have, who have maybe less than 1,000 acres under cultivation, and farmers who already have diversified crops, they're sort of in a good position because they have already more food for these bees to come in and eat. And so they are actually having success. I mean, in the Yolo Valley in California, and the Central Valley, I talked to a lot of farmers who have put in these hedgerows, and they are actually seeing native bees come back. And, you know, it's a little bit of a difficult thing to quantify who, you know, which bee is doing what kind of pollination. It's a very hard thing to measure. But they all said that they are actually, you know, they notice when they're out in their fields, they notice that there are not just honeybees there, but there are native bees. So it's something that I think, you know, more sort of progressive farmers are definitely starting to turn their attention to.
How do you know if you're planting this wild stuff, bringing the wild bees, that you're not just stealing the wild bees from, you know, the next farmer over? Are we actually building new populations of them?
That's a great question. And it's one of the things actually that these scientists at UC Berkeley and UC Davis are looking at. You know, how do we know that we're not just kind of siphoning these bees from somewhere else? There isn't really an answer to that question. They think that there are more bees coming in. I mean, it sort of makes sense that if you have more food and more habitat, you're going to have a more, you know, a bigger bee population. But it's not 100% clear yet.
We've heard about colony collapse disorder for the honeybees. Are there similar kinds of things briefly happening to native bee populations?
Native bees are, so these wild bees are not, they're not social the way honeybees are. So honeybees, part of the reason why they're so intensively managed and why they're so intensively used in our agricultural system is because they live in these colonies, right? So you can, you know, that you can have them in hives and you can move them around and do all this stuff with them. All these other wild bees are solitary.
Oh.
Most of them nest in the ground. They don't live in hives. They don't have these intensive social structures. So you can't really manage them the same way as you can honeybees. But they are, and so they don't have the same kinds of diseases. So they're not susceptible to colony collapse disorder simply because they don't actually live in colonies.
Interesting.
Are probably susceptible to pesticides.
Gotcha. Hillary, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Hillary Rosner. She's a writer who specializes in science and the environment. Here's a note from Gary in Boscobel. He says, I'm a founder of Prairie Enthusiasts. One of our goals is to protect parts of native prairies exactly to save native insects. People can learn more at theprairieenthusiast.org. Maybe a future show there, too.
Coming up next, we'll talk about some of the hateful tweets in response to an Indian American woman crowned as 2014's Miss America and what it says about America today. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.